ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 18 ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿವೈಡೆಡ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇನ್ ಟು 4 ವೆರೈಟೀಸ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ 3 ಗುಣಾಸ್, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಯು ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ 3 ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ, ಕರ್ಮ, ಕರ್ತ, ಸುಖಂ, ಆಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ಸೊ ದ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಅದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವರ್ ಡಿವೈಡೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು 3. Whereas in the case of human beings, the division was fourfold based on the 4 varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And the Lord said, since humans have 4 different characters, He gave them 4 different duties also, because each particular character is ideal for a particular type of duty. So, Swabhavaja, Karma and Ardharma, whatever. So, okay. And then He said, even though all these people have different duties, they all can have the same phalam known as Chitta Shuddhi. Even though different types of karmas should have different types of phalam in general, in this case, different types of karma can have the same phalam if those karmas are performed in a particular way. And what is the particular way? Krishna will explain actually in the following shlokas, 46 onwards. And what is the topic actually? It is going to be Karma Yoga. 3 shlokas, 46 to 48, summing up of Karma Yoga. So, Krishna's contention is different karmas will have different phalam, but Karma Yoga will have only one phalam. Because Karma Yoga will be nothing but Ishvara Puja. And so, Shudra also will be doing Ishvara Puja through his Swadharma, Vaishya also through his Swadharma, and so on. So, all the 4 are Karma Yogis worshipping the Lord only. And so, all the 4 will have the uniform phalam also of Chitta Shuddhi, inner purity. Then the question is, how can Swadharma become an worship of the Lord following Swadharma? Swadharma is converted into a worship only because of the attitude with which that action is performed. And so Krishna's argument is, let the 4 varnas, let them not change their duties, continue in their own duties, but let them change only their attitude. And what is attitude? By the offering, performing my duty, I worship the Lord. Or let the Lord be pleased by performance of my duty. So, Mamopatha Samastha Duradakshayadvara Shri Parameshwara Prityartham Idam Karmam Karishye, Idam Karma Karishye. That's what He will do. Whatever I do for Ishwara Priti only. This attitude of Karma Yoga is being pointed out in the shlokas. Shloka 46, let us read.
Yata Pravrithir Bhutanam ಯೇನ ಸರ್ವಮಿದಂ ತತಂ ಸ್ವಕರ್ಮಣಾ ತಮಭ್ಯರ್ಚ್ಯ ಸಿದ್ಧಿಂ ವಿಂದತಿ ಮಾನವಃ.
ಸೊ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಚಿತ್ತಶುದ್ಧಿ? ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಸ್ವಕರ್ಮಣ ತಂ ಅಭ್ಯರ್ಚ್ಯ, ದ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈ ಇಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಭ್ಯರ್ಚನ. ಅಭ್ಯರ್ಚನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಪೂಜನ. ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಆಫರ್ಡ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್, then the very same Swadharma becomes sacred. That is, a secular karma is converted to a sacred karma, a mundane action is converted to a spiritual action. Even sweeping the floor becomes a puja. How can we offer an action at the feet of the Lord? Action is not a thing like a flower, which we can offer at the feet of the Lord, or a fruit. Here, the offering is only a mental attitude. Before I start the action, I say mentally, I dedicate this action to the Lord. Let the Lord be pleased by this action. And okay, what does it mean? Is it just a verbal expression? When I say, I dedicate this action to the Lord, it means I don't expect any phalam out of it, except the pleasure of the Lord. Parameshwara Prityartham, Narayana Prityartham. Dedication means Nishkamatvam. That will come there. I don't bother whether others appreciate it, congratulate me, honor me or compensate me. There is no expectation at all. Not only that, once I say I dedicate to the Lord,
there is another part of it also, that whatever be the consequence of my action, I am ready to accept it as Ishwara Prasada. Even if the whole family or the whole world may turn against me, may the result become totally negative and counterproductive also, but I am ready to accept it. These two we should tell our mind all the time, which is called an yajna. It is a dedication. Other than Ishwara Arpanam and Ishwara Preeti, I don't care for anything else. Krishna says here, Swakarmana Tamabhyarchya Manavaha Siddhim Vindati. Manavaha means humans. Siddhim, we have seen actually earlier also in Shloka 45, previous, Sam Siddhim. Here it means Chitta Shuddhi. So humans attain Chitta Shuddhi by worshipping the Lord through performance of Swadharma. Okay, what is to be emphasized? In the word Swakarmana, the term Swa is to be emphasized in Swakarmana. Swa means one's own Swadharma. That means one need not and should not change one's own duties, one's own Dharma. One need not feel inferior about his or her own duties and need not also compare with anybody else. Because the question is one interested in studying Veda or getting Chitta Shuddhi? The aim is Chitta Shuddhi, first step, and then Jnanam. So everyone can, follow both steps by doing one's duties. So there is no need for a woman to ask, why cannot I chant Gayatri Mantra and all that thing? Not only that, if certain types of karmas are only superior and some others are inferior, then we may like to exchange. But Krishna says, all karmas are equally important. Kshatriya karma, Shudra karma, Brahmana karma, Vaishya karma, all of them are equally important. That is why these four karmas are compared to the four organs of the body. Just as all organs are equally important for the survival of a person, all the varnas are also equally important. And all of them can get Chitta Shuddhi and Moksha. And therefore, let Swadharma be respected. Therefore, the emphasis is on what? Is on the term Swa, the prefix Swa in Swakarmana. Swakarmana tamabhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. So, by worshipping the Lord through Swadharma, now the question is what? Who is that Lord? That is defined actually in the first line. Who is that Lord? Yataha bhutanam pravrittihi. Yataha, from which Lord alone? That is the origination of all beings. Pravrittihi means utpattihi or origination. From whom alone all beings, they are all born, they all originated. Yena idam sarvam tatam. By which Lord alone this whole creation is pervaded. Idam means the entire jagat, universe. Tatam means vyaptam, pervaded. So this clarifies the Lord can be only one. But for the benefit of the karma yogi, we can imagine the Lord to be Krishna, Rama, Ganapati or anybody, doesn't matter. Because remember, karma yogi does not know Nirgunam Brahma yet. He is still an Ajnani. Therefore, he requires a particular form of the Lord to focus. So he will say Krishna Arpanamastu or Shiva Arpanamastu, Brahma Arpanamastu, he can say all that. But even though one imagines a form for the Lord, one should remember that this form is only an imaginary form. Really speaking, the Lord is Sarvam Idam Tatam. The Lord pervades all of them. So really Krishna or Rama, they are all formless, all pervading ones. Not only that, by this Krishna gives another clue also. Since the Lord is all pervading, for Ishwara Arpanam, where should one go? One need not go to any particular place at all. Even in the office, when we are working, if we dedicate the action to the Lord will receive it, because the Lord is in the office also. Therefore, wherever one is, one should offer it to the Lord, which is called Karma Yoga. Nothing is new here. All of them have been talked about in chapters 2 and 3. Yajna Arthat Karmana Karmana Nyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanaha. Lord said, తదర్థం కర్మ కౌంతేయం ముక్త సంఘ సమాచార యోగస్థ గురు కర్మాణి సంఘం త్యక్వా ధనంజయ. ఆల్ దోస్ శ్లోకాస్ వీ హవ్ సీన్ ఇన్ సెకండ్ అండ్ థర్డ్ చాప్టర్స్. హియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ద సమ్మింగ్ అప్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ ఆల్రెడీ టాట్. సో త్రూ కర్మయోగ వన్ గెట్స్ చిత్తశుద్ధి. శ్లోక 47. శ్రేయాన్ స్వధర్మో విగుణ పరధర్మాత్ స్వనుష్ఠితాత్ స్వభావనియతం కర్మ కుర్వన్నాప్నోతి కల్బిషం. హియర్ ద ఫస్ట్ లైన్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఆల్రెడీ సీన్ దిస్ లైన్ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ చాప్టర్. ద సేమ్ లైన్ కమ్స్ హియర్. ఓన్లీ ద సెకండ్ లైన్ వాస్ డిఫరెంట్. స్వధర్మే నిధనం శ్రేయ పరధర్మో భయావహ. దట్ వాస్ వాట్ సెట్ ఎర్లియర్. నౌ ఇట్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్. దెన్ అర్జున ఉవాచ అత కేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుష. హియర్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ అ పర్సన్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు డూ హిస్ స్వధర్మ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ వెల్, డజంట్ మ్యాటర్, లెట్ హిమ్ డూ టు ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఆర్ హర్ ఎబిలిటీ. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఈస్ వన్ షుడ్ కన్ఫైన్ టు వన్స్ స్వధర్మ. అండ్ సపోజ్ హీఈస్ అన్ ఎక్స్పర్ట్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్ సంబడి ఎల్సెస్ కర్మ, కృష్ణ సేస్ డోంట్ డూ ఇట్. ఇట్ విల్ లీడ్ టు కన్ఫ్యూషన్ ఓన్లీ. కృష్ణాస్ ఐడియా ఇస్ వాట్? ఇఫ్ వన్ పర్సన్ వయలేట్స్ హిస్ ఆర్ హర్ డ్యూటీ దెన్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ ఎ ప్రెసిడెంట్. ఇట్ మే నాట్ కాస్ డామేజ్ ఇమీడియట్లీ బట్ ఇన్ డ్యూ కోర్స్ ఇట్ విల్. ఏ హోల్ సొసైటీ మే ఈవెన్ గెట్ స్పాయిల్డ్. కట్టింగ్ వన్ ట్రీ మే నాట్ బి హార్మ్ఫుల్ బట్ ఇట్ లీడ్స్ టు సో మెనీ టు బి కట్ బై పీపుల్ ఆఫ్టర్వర్డ్స్. So, Krishna is not bothered about one person violating, but Krishna is thinking the entire macrocosmic level. Therefore, he says, do not allow even one person to violate the Swadharma. So, he says, Vigunaha api, even though you are unfit for the duty, imperfect in that does not matter. Shreyan, do what you have to do. It is better. It is better than paradharmat swanushtithat. Paradharma, which is perfectly done, even if you do perfectly somebody else's dharma. To put in a simple language, imperfect swadharma is better than perfect paradharma. Paradharma is somebody else's duty. And in the third chapter, the Krishna said, so swadharme nidhanam shreyaha. Following swadharma, even if death happens, it does not matter. Nidhanam. Here Krishna says, Swabhava Niyatam Karma Kurvanna. One should do the karma which is determined by Niyatam, determined by, governed by what? Swabhava, one's own character. So doing the karma which is determined by one's own character, which is Swadharma Kurvanna. Kilbisham Na Aapnoti. He will not incur sin. Kilbisham is sin. He will not incur sin. It will not incur any punyam also. It will only give chitta samskara. We should understand not only punyam, papam, both won't come, but only chitta shuddhi will come. Shloka 48. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajetam sarvarambahi doshena dhumena agniri vavrutaha. Here Krishna says, every swadharma has got its own advantages or disadvantages. When you look from one angle, it will appear to have certain advantage. From another angle, it may appear to be disadvantages. There is nothing as like an ideal karma or a perfect karma. What is the reason? The reason is karma belongs to Purusha or Prakriti. Karma belongs to Prakriti. Purusha is akarta, abhokta. So Purusha is akarta and abhokta, so chalana rahitaha, so he is nishkarma, all that. So karma belongs to prakriti only, so it will be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So it belongs to the relative world. And anything belonging to the relative world will have good aspect and bad aspect. And then what is the psychology? It is when you look at a karma from a distance, it is so attractive. You will see only the plus points of that karma. The moment you enter that, you will feel that the other one is better. Rented house is better, our own house is better. Both will have their own complaints. So, Brahmana karma, priesthood may look attractive for others and vice versa. Because no need to wear the three-piece suit and all that, tie, go to 8 a.m. to work and come back late evening, you know, get paid only once in a month. But if you really ask a priest, they will also say that they will not send their children to priesthood at all. So they don't feel that their karma is superior, whereas all others may think it is superior and fight that they also should be allowed to do puja in the temple and all that. So every karma has got plus and minus points. So Krishna says, don't complain. Learn to do your karma happily and love whatever you do. That is
the... Audio is not coming
up. Who?
Audio is not coming
up. Who is that?
Tiruchi is on the line.
Oh. Audio is
stop
not coming.
Huh?
Stop on the Harish, he said that? Audio. People are telling audio is not coming. So I don't know if anybody wants to give a comment. Let me see. So Krishna says, Sahajam karma natyajet. One should not give up the karma which is born along with him. Sahajam means sahajatam sahajam. That which is born along with him. See, based on these shlokas, the hereditary duties, they came in our society. Because sahaja means what? Duty also is born along with him. That is why in our society, they never gave a choice. One who is born in Brahmin family, right from childhood, he is trained in Brahmana type of duty. And so Krishna says, sahajam karma. Here, karma refers to swadharma. So, the swadharma that is born with oneself, natyajet, never to be given up. Sadosham api, even if it has got certain disadvantages. That is why in Mahabharata, they tell the story of a butcher, Dharma Vyadha. A butcher's swadharma does not look pleasant to us. It involves himsa, cutting flesh and all that. But if he comes in that parampara, it is okay. Sadosham api. Okay, imagine a kshatriya involves punishment, killing, war. So their swadharma is bitter, killing people. So once you have taken up that duty, then Ishwararpanam. That is all. So Krishna says, sadosham api sahajam karma natyajet. Why? Krishna says, sarva arambaha doshena avrutaha. Arambaha refers to karma. So arabhyate iti arambaha. Because, O Arjuna, all the karmas are surrounded with dosham, its own disadvantages. For example, if a person is a Vedic Pandit doing Rudrabhishekam, suppose the first time we learn Rudram, it is so nice to hear. Now, you think of this priest who goes for an Ekadasha Rudrabhishekam, chants 11 times. Then in the evening also, somewhere else, next day Shivaratri, all four quarters in the night he chants Rudram, it's a Maharudram. Then another function, now he chants so many times, what happens? After some time we can see many of these priests, they want to finish it as fast as they can and run away. We can never find them enjoying Rudram at all perhaps. Similarly, you go to Tirupati and stand in the line for 8 hours and 10 hours or 20 hours, whatever it is, to have a 10 second or a 5 second darshanam. But look at the priest. He wants to finish his work and get out as quickly as he can. That is why Shankaracharya said, in priesthood, the greatest problem is he may lose the value for Veda, Puja, temple, all of them. So he says, Purohityam itself may be a disadvantage. But if you don't have a proper attitude, even priesthood can be a boring job. So anyway, we should be careful. We should not generalize this. There are certainly many priests who consider this as a very noble profession, a good blessing. What we want to say here is, in any profession, whatever one can take, there can be advantages, there could be disadvantages also. So Krishna says, sarva arambaha avritaha, all work are associated with doshena, with dosham or disadvantage. Like what? He gives an example, agnihi dhumena iva. Just as the fire is covered by the smoke. Just as fire and smoke are inseparable, similarly, karma and dosha are inseparable. And therefore what? Continue your swadharma. Why do you change?
So the whole emphasis is to continue the Swadharma and doing it as Ishvara Arpanam, getting the purification and getting the knowledge and liberated. And even after liberation, one can continue the Swadharma at the Vyavaharika level.
Just as King Janaka continued to rule the country even after getting knowledge, so this is what jnanis do. So a jnani Shudra can continue the Shudra Karma. A jnani Vaishya can continue doing the Vaishya Karma also, all those things because of their Swadharma. They can take the sannyasa also, it is purely optional. Whether they want to take it or not, it is purely optional. Shloka 49. Asakta buddhis sarvatra jitatma vigatas prihaha naishkarmya siddhim paramam sanyasenadhi gacchati. So with the previous shloka, the Karma Yoga topic is over, which is nothing but worshipping the Lord through Swadharma. The palam is what? Chitta Shuddhi. It can never give moksha by itself, even after doing Karma Yoga for several janmas. When Chitta Shuddhi comes, then Karma Yoga becomes redundant for him. It is like eating, you know, that becomes redundant once your stomach is full, no need to eat. So after Chitta Shuddhi, he has to go to some other yoga called Jnana Yoga. So from Shloka 49, Krishna now enters into the next topic called Jnana Yoga, Shloka 49 to 54. So Karma Yoga topic is over. Now he is getting into Jnana Yoga topic. That means what? He has to withdraw from karma more and more, keeping minimum Swadharma. This one can be done actually in two ways. He can take sannyasa in which he can drop all the karmas also, where a person ritualistically cuts off his relationship with the previous ashrama, namely Grahastha Ashrama or Vanaprastha Ashrama. Just as one goes to Grahastha Ashrama from Brahmacharya Ashrama in a ritualistic manner, in the Sannyasa Ashrama, he has to get away from the family, no more relationships and all that. And no connection with the Karma Kanda of the Vedas also, which is symbolically done by removing the thread, the tuft and all that. Which means he has neither duties to the family or society nor to the devas also. Karma Kanda prescribes duties to the devas. Indra Yaswaha, Agna Yaswaha, Varuna Yaswaha, all those things you do. Even those duties he does not have. No more Nitya, Naimittika karmas, all are gone. Now he has only one duty and that is Vedanta, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam. And if at all he has any other duties, it is nothing but Shama Damadi Abhyasaha. He will go on practicing them. He has to make sure that the mind is in full Shama Dhamma or any other karma like attending to his guru and all that. That means his whole life is dedicated to the Vedantic pursuit. This is one option or one lifestyle. And if not, the second lifestyle is, if a person does not take this due to various other reasons, family circumstances or health, etc., he can take to sannyasa. He can be in the family itself. He doesn't have to take to sannyasa. He can be in the family itself, but he must live like a sannyasi. So even though he is a grahastha sannyasi, lives like a sannyasi in the family, he does not interfere in the affairs of the home as though he is a guest in the house. But if he has not formally renounced, he has to continue his nitya naimittika karmas, he has to continue. But he can reduce it to the minimum. The duration can be reduced, skeletal. This is also as good as sannyasa only or vanaprastha ashrama, still living in the house. The idea is what? This involvement in worldly affairs is reduced to a bare minimum. That is the whole idea. No keys, none of those things anymore. They all should be given away. That is being pointed out from this shloka onwards. And Krishna says, asakta buddhihi. This speaker whose mind has become completely detached, this seeker, so asakta buddhihi. Asakta buddhihi. So he is a viragi ityartaha, one who has got vairagyam. Viragi means one who has got vairagyam. Towards what? Sarvatra, in all. he should not ask if there is any exception at all. For in everything he is viragi. So iha amutrartha pala bhoga viragaha. That is the definition for vairagyam given by Sankaracharya in Tattva Bodha. Iha cha amutra cha. Means here also only. So then jitatma. Jitatma means atma. Atma means here the mind. It's not Satchidananda Atma. Atma means mind. So jitam means won over or conquered. Atma is antakaranam. Right? Inner equipment. So that person who has become detached, who has mastered the mind, indicating what? Shama. Shamadi shatka sampatti. Vairagyam he has got. Then vigataha spruhaha. Free from all cravings. Nishkama. So asakta buddhihi and so vigata spruha both seem to be very similar. But here we have to make a subtle difference between these two terms. Spruha is kama. And kama is for something which is not yet achieved. Whereas sakti is for something which we already have. Spruha is for what we don't have. And sakti is for what we already have. Therefore, a seeker must not have a desire for a fresh one at all. And even with respect to things that he already has, he is ever ready to give them up. If they are there, fine. If they are not there, that is perfectly fine too. So, such a seeker, to put in our own language, so sadhana chaturtaya sampannaha, such a seeker. And how did he get these qualifications? By the karma yoga mentioned before. There, the word siddhi was used, which is nothing but all these qualifications only. And such a person ultimately has to attain what? Paramam naishkarmya siddhim adhigachati through sannyasa, representing jnana yoga. Because again, we should remember the very purpose of sannyasa is what? Jnana yoga only. So, it is specially designed for a jnana yoga. So, therefore, it is improper to take sannyasa and do other things. Shastra will never allow that. Taking ochre robes and sannyasa means go to a guru and learn. If not, don't take this ashrama at all. If you say you are already a jnani, then teach. These are the only two jobs of a sannyasi. It is for shastra patanam or shastra patanam. So, sannyasa means jnana yoga. We don't have to separately say that thing. Otherwise, what will happen? If a person takes to sannyasa, he cannot do other ashrama karmas. He cannot. Because sannyasa is to drop all rituals and all other things. And if he does not come to shastra study also, what will happen? The whole time will be hanging. And there is no family also. There is plenty of time. And mind is such a terrible thing that it will ultimately drag him to rakshasic level. And he will become worse than a grihastha in doing so many other things. And therefore, shastras will never permit that. That is, sannyasa and jnana yoga are synonymous. And so, Shankaracharya in his commentary, he says, sannyasena is equal to samyak darshanena by jnana yoga, which is the second stage of sadhana. So, through jnana yoga, what does he attain? Paramam naishkarmya siddhim adhigachati. Naishkarmya siddhi means moksha. Paramam means the highest goal. So, parama purushartham ityartaha. So, this seeker through jnana yoga attains the highest goal of moksha. Okay. Now, we will see the literal meaning of the word naishkarmya siddhi. Because this is an important word we should know. Naishkarmyam means actionlessness. So, nishkarma. Nish means free from action. So, actionless. So, naishkarmyam is an abstract noun, actionlessness. And siddhi means the goal or the accomplishment. So, the accomplishment of actionlessness is called naishkarmya siddhi. Okay. How can this particular word indicate then moksha? When we say actionlessness, it looks as though lying down, that also seems to be actionlessness. Therefore, naishkarmya siddhi can be achieved by anyone. Just lie down, don't do anything. Only a person has to be lazy.
For that, we have already seen the answer in the fourth chapter, if you remember. We said, at the anatma level, total actionlessness is not possible. In fact, even during sleep, the body is active, pranayama. Pranamaya kosha is all happening, breathing is active. Suppose we don't breathe, then they will take us away. So remember, body, mind, etc. have to be active all the time. And even if they are actionless, remember, all of them are potentially stored. Waking up again, these activities will come back. So even during sleep, action is there at potential level. At the mental level also, desires are there. That means at the anatma level, actionlessness is not possible. Therefore, if we want to be actionless, we have to come down to atma. Because atma alone is ever actionless. And therefore, if our abhimanam is with anatma, we will always be a karta only. And if we drop our anatma abhimanam, or Dehatma Abhimanam, and get established in Atma, the Swarupam, we become ever actionless. And so what is actionlessness here? Abiding in one's own self, which is one's true nature, is Naishkarmya Siddhi. So Sankaracharya says, Nishkarma Atma Rupena Avasthanam Eva Naishkarmya Siddhi. That is what he writes in his commentary. And how is it acquired? By knowledge alone. All these we have to connect to the previous chapters. In the third chapter, Krishna has clearly said, Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Tattva viddu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartante iti matvam na sajyate. So according to Vedanta, we are already actionless atma. We need not become actionless. Now what happened? I have wrongly identified with anatma and therefore it looks as though I am active. Drop the identification with anatma, I become actionless. That is Naishkarmya Siddhi. Like the waker, he was inactive lying down in the bed. But if the waker identifies with the dream body, along with the dream body, the waker seems to go to various places. How can the waker drop this action? In fact, he need not drop because he is already relaxed alone. But identified with the dream body, he travels. Disidentified with the dream body, he is resting. So, what do we mean by disidentifying? It is nothing but waking up. Therefore, when I wake up, I find I never traveled. I am ever at rest on the bed. Similarly, prakritehe kriyamanani. Prakriti acts. I, the Purusha, am actionless. This wisdom gives me Naishkarmya Siddhi. This is a very important topic. So, Naishkarmya Siddhi is an understanding. You do not do anything. Karmani, so karmani akarma yat pasyet. So, akarmani cha karmayaha. So, that's what we have seen. Pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jigran, all that. Naiva kinchit karomi. All those things we have to remember when we read this shloka. And this is attained by sannyasa, indicating jnana yoga. Shloka 50. Siddhim prapto yata brahma tathapnoti nibodame samase naiva kaunteya nishthajnanasya yapara. So here Krishna says, Arjuna, I will talk about Jnana Yoga in brief. He is introducing the topic of Jnana Yoga here. He says, Siddhim Praptaha, the one who has attained Chitta Shuddhi. So throughout this section, we have to understand that the word Siddhi means Chitta Shuddhi or Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, Adhikari Bhavati, such a person. So Brahma Apunoti, he attains Brahman, which is the same as Naishkarmya Siddhi, which we saw just now, the previous shloka. Because Atma Prapti, Brahma Prapti, Moksha Prapti, Naishkarmya Siddhi, all are synonyms. Brahman is actionless. So attaining Brahman is as good as attaining actionlessness. So So Brahman is actionless. So attaining Brahman means actionlessness. And so Krishna uses a different word, Siddhim Praptaha. He becomes an adhikari. And how he attains Siddhi, that Krishna does not say, but we should remember. Karma Yogena Siddhim Praptaha. Having attained Siddha Shuddhi, Siddhi through Karma Yoga. Thereafter, verse Brahma Apnoti. He attains Brahman, Moksha, Naishkarma Siddhi. And Yata Apnoti, Tata Me Nibhoda. How he attained Brahman, you know from me. Then Arjuna may feel bad that Jnana Yoga has been talked about all through the 13th chapter, 14th chapter. Why do you start the whole story again? So Krishna says, Samashenaiva. I am not going to bore you too much. I know you already know. But still, since this is an Upasamhara Adhyaya, concluding Adhyaya, winding up chapter, I am giving you in brief what is Jnana Yoga. Samasaha means nutshell, brief. And also I will point out, Jnanasya Ya Paranishta. What is the highest state of Jnanam? That also you learn from me now. Paranishta, the highest state of this Jnana Yoga, I will talk to you. So here, what he means by the highest knowledge, highest state of Jnanam? In Jnanam, is there a lower grade, higher grade, all that? Paranishta, we have already seen this before. During Shravanam, I do get knowledge. But lot of doubts, they may linger in the mind. So it becomes what Jnanam? Samshaya Sahita Jnanam. A Jnanam with obstacles, doubts. Thus, Jnanam can be with Samshayam. And what is the second obstacle? That also was pointed out earlier. Even if Jnanam becomes free from doubts, there can be habitual problems, habitual anger, habitual depression, worry. We have seen all those examples before, like the water tap, you know, under repair. You saw the board saying that the tap is under repair. You still opened it because you had doubt whether it had been repaired or not. Many times we do that. It's all very common sight in India. Now, you know, it was not repaired. You go away, have lunch after 1 hour, come back and again open the tap. No water. Why you did that? You already have checked. You had no doubts, but this time you opened because of habit. Or bucket of water for 15 days. Tap. You know, these water problems are all very common in Chennai or so many places. That's why this is an example Swamiji gives always. So, is it ajnanam or samshayam? It is neither. It is called viparyaya, viparita bhavana, habitual thinking. That will go only by what? Alertness. So, jnanam seem to have some gradations. Initially, jnanam with doubts and viparyaya. Then with viparyaya only and then without viparyaya. That is why we have kept 3 stages of jnana yoga. Shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. Shravanena ajnana nivrittihi. By shravanam it removes ignorance. Mananena samshaya nivrittihi. Removes doubts. And nididhyasanena viparyaya nivrittihi removes all habitual tendencies. So in the first stage, it is called jnanam. Later it is called jnana nishtha. First stage it is called prajna. And at the last stage, it is called sthita prajna, which we saw in the second chapter. So we will talk about jnana nishtha also. Shlokas 51 to 53, all 3 shlokas we will learn together. Buddhya vishuddhaya yuktaha dhrityatmanam niyamyacha shabdadin vishayam styaktva ragadveshav yudasyacha viviktasevi lagvashim yatavakkaya manasaha dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashritaha ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodam parigraham Vimuchya nirmama shantaha brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So in the previous shloka, Krishna said how through jnana yoga a person attains jnana nishtha. And so Krishna must be talking about shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all of them. But in this portion, Krishna skips shravanam and mananam and emphasizes nididhyasanam. So all these three shlokas, they talk about Nididhyasanam and its phalam. What is the phalam? Jnana Nishta, Naishkarmya Siddhi or Brahma Bhavaha. That is the phalam. All are same. For Nididhyasanam, what are the preparations and conditions that are also mentioned here? Only then Nididhyasanam will become effective. So conditions are mentioned. We can say that this is a summary of the sixth chapter where Nididhyasanam was talked about. So no new idea is given, all reminders only, refreshers. And what are the conditions for Nididhyasanam? He says, Vishuddhaya Buddhya Yuktaha. One should be endowed with a clear intellect. Vishuddha means clear. And what do we mean by clarity of intellect? It is clarity of thinking or viveka that should be bright. He has a clear idea of what is his real goal of life. Whether it is a material goal or is a spiritual goal. We already told Preyo Marga or Shreyo Marga, all that we talked. Worldly things, money, family. Or they are incidental. What is the ultimate goal? Or if there is a choice between moksha and all these, what will I choose? One should ask oneself. One should be very clear about this. As long as I have vagueness, buddhi is not vishuddha, but it is ashuddha. That means nitya, anitya, vastu, viveka must be strong for that person. That does not mean hatred for the world, family or anything. Love, that should be there. But as long as I expect love from them in return, expect them to take care of me, but I know I lean on them, then I have ashuddha buddhi. If I have all that, I will be in trouble. But allowing them to lean on us, in that trouble, that is fine because they are weak. They need my love and moral support. But you don't lean on anyone else. Allowing others to lean on us is not samsara. But our leaning on someone else, that is samsara. Then buddhi has been taken care of. It is the prime driver. Remember actually in the Kathopanishad, Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi. Shariram Ratamevatu, Buddhyastu Saratim Vidhi. We already saw that. For our chariot of life, our buddhi is the charioteer. What is the next one? The mind, which is compared to the reins of the chariot. Manaha Pragrahameva. So Krishna says, Atmanam. So Atmanam Niyamya. One should master, discipline the mind. Atma. Atma here, mind. So, one should control the mind with what? Dhritya. With the willpower, dhriti. Born out of what? Viveka. Viveka Shakti. By understanding and willpower, mind can be controlled. It can be regulated. It can be moderated. Then the sense organs can be directed properly. So, what is the next job? Sense organs must be turned away from vishayas. Sense vishayas are sense objects. And that is what said here. Shabdadin Vishayam Stektva, having given up the sense pleasures of Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Ganda. Vishayam. Vishayam means sense objects. Then one should not ask, if I give up, what will happen to my pleasure? Krishna has already said, all these sense pleasures are only sources of Dukkham. Dukkha Yonaya Eva. We have already seen. Yehi Samsparshashad. Bhogaha Dukkayonaya Eva. So with that understanding, if I turn away, I won't miss anything at all whatsoever. It is not suppression, it is growing out. That is why buddhi is involved. And even after the turning away from the sense organs, the mind may have certain clinging towards those objects. So Krishna says, Raga Dveshau Yudasya. So, the having given up raga and dvesha, because in the second chapter we already saw, vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya. We already seen that. Rasam, the mental liking. Even after turning away the sense organs, the mind may feel. If it was there, it would be nice. All that it will think. That feeling, that almost it must be curtailed. So, raga dveshau vidyasya cha. And that is also with the help of what? Viveka only. So, viveka buddhyam
ragadveshav vidyasya cha. And what is viveka? We have seen all that thing also before. Raga comes when I think an object is a source of joy. I get attached to that. When I think an object is a source of sorrow, dvesha will come. If I think very well, I will know an object can neither give joy nor sorrow. Once I understand this clearly, neither there will be raga nor dvesha. Then what should be my attitude? Then my attitude should be one of viveka, should come in such a way, udasinaha. Neither I want it nor I am against it. I am indifferent towards it. All these are all preparations for nididhyasanam. Then we go to the next shloka. More conditions are prescribed there. Vivikta sevi. Taking so relatively to a secluded place, to a secluded place you go. Vivikta means secluded place. So vijana pradeshaha, place where there is nobody there. Even if he is a grahastha, for some time withdrawing from all activities, relationships, a temporary sannyasa. This is called vivikta sevitvam. We have seen earlier also in the 6th chapter and 13th chapters. Then lagvashi, taking to limited food, moderation in eating. Lagu means alpam. Lagu ashi means alpashi, alpam ashnati iti alpashi. That is where you know, eating is not a sense pleasure. Generally for most people, eating also is a very important sense pleasure, for which we have to plan so much. We have to go to so many places. That coffee alone is good. I have to go to that coffee shop. That alone is good. Therefore, it is neither for catering the tongue nor for filling lagu, alpam. Also, it means the bare minimum to remove hunger is what one should take. Lagvashi. The idea is what? Is if the tummy is full, blood circulation will be more there in the tummy than in the head. And if you sit for meditation, only yawning and sleep will come. Then yata vakaya manasaha. Yata means mastered, disciplined. With disciplined kayam. Kayam means shariram. Vak, the organ of speech. And manasa, the mind. So disciplining all of them. Having mastered the body, the organ of speech, that's the tongue and the mind. What does it mean? Speech is only when necessary it should be spoken. And to the extent it is necessary only it should be spoken. We have already seen this actually in the 17th chapter called vak tapas. Similarly, mind should not be thinking unnecessary thoughts. So mastery over thought, mastery over speech, action, body refers to action. Then vairagyam samupashritaha. We should have to take to vairagyam, detachment. Towards what? Towards even the minimum that one has, body or dress and all that thing. We will come to dhyana yoga para later actually. Then in the next shloka, that is also here, but we will explain it later. Then in the next shloka, some more conditions are given. Ahankaram, balam, tarpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham, vimuchya. Having given up all these evil tendencies, ahankara, egoism, or dehabhimanam, balam, physical strength or power, the idea is what? Even bodily strength is not necessary for a sadhaka. Body should be healthy, doesn't have to be too strong. For example, when the body strength increases more than necessary, we don't say one should have a strength at all. For a kshatriya, extraordinary strength is prescribed. But for a brahmana or a sannyasi, bodily strength is not encouraged. Because when body is too much, then physical needs and cravings also become too much. To reduce the animalistic craving, they say, let the body be healthy and with minimum basic strength. And he is not doing any other job also. He is doing nididhyasana. So he can afford that. Because healthy body is adequate. He is not a working man to exhaust all the calories. Then darpam, arrogance. This also we have seen earlier. Then kamam, krodham. Also known to us, desire and anger. Then parigraham. Parigraham is possession. Giving up all possessions. Because maintenance becomes a problem. Attachment will be there. So reduce possessions. We cannot give up all possessions. We should keep minimum at least. But the minimum varies from individual to individual. But whatever that minimum, that will disturb nididhyasana. So Krishna suggests nirmamaha. Even towards those minimum possessions, don't entertain ownership. Just have the attitude that I am using it. It is Lord's gift and I make use of. That's it. The land was there before me, will continue also after I die. So the land possesses us. Or do we possess the land? Land is more permanent than us. But still we think of so many acres and develop ownership, etc. towards them and get into a lot of problems. At the same time, we cannot avoid having a house, a car, various other possessions. If you live here, for example. Therefore, the only way is never have a strong bond with the possessions. Just a weak or a loose connection for the sake of using them. That is, at any time, be ready to walk out of it. Ever ready for Viyoga. So that is the ideal life. And anything that I have, I may not have tomorrow, that attitude. How? We don't know. This inner preparedness alone, that is called nirmamatvam. These are the two important things. Reduce the possession, number one. And two, whatever minimum possession one has, avoid ownership or possessorship. And once these conditions are fulfilled, then he will be what? Shantaha. Shantaha means sadva guna pradanaha. Rajas and tamas will not disturb that person. In fact, all these are all, for, they are not meditation. They are only preparation for nididhyasanam. Should be careful. Then the actual meditation is mentioned in the 52nd shloka, line 2. Maintaining these conditions, what should one do? Dhyana yoga paraha bhavet. That's what we said. We will explain this later. Dhyana yoga paraha bhavet. One should remain committed to paraha. Paraha means one should remain committed to dhyana yoga. You should be committed to dhyana yoga. Shankaracharya says, he interprets as two words, not just as dhyana yoga, dhyanam cha yogascha. That's what he said. So dhyanam he takes as meditation and yoga he takes as absorption, samadhi. So that is not only a casual thinking or superficial pursuit, but a deep involvement. Therefore, Shankara takes dhyanam, atma chintanam, and yoga as samadhi. When we hear TV news and all that thing, there are so many types of hearing. Doing so many things, one may listen to the news also. Thus, you may get some headlines. Suppose the budget news comes, and this is related directly to one's business. How much that person will be absorbed? Because his future avastha, he is determined by that news. Similarly, listening to the class also casually, as well as that, you know, the tivrata, both of us. So that is yoga. So the acharya makes a subtle difference between these two. We can refer also to the 6th chapter where Krishna talks about dhyanam and samadhi. What were the examples talked about then? Yathadi po anivatastaha nengate sopa masmrita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yoga matmanaha. In dhyanam, effort is involved. Distraction also are there. But in samadhi, it is undisturbed absorption. So, dhyana yoga paraha. And when should he do that? Krishna says, nityam, regularly, as often as possible. And that is why the sannyasa ashrama also is prescribed. If a person wants to have total commitment and wants to give up all responsibilities and duties, for him, the Shastra allows sannyasa ashrama. If a person is not a sannyasi, then vanaprastha ashrama is there, remaining at home itself, but not involving in too much. If that is not possible also, then stay in grahastha ashrama, but to the extent possible, we have to spend some time for this dhyanam. Therefore, nityam. How long? That Krishna does not say, that we have to supply until jnana nishta comes. Until he will not be forgetful about aham brahma asmi. That should never be forgotten. Until that, he should remain in this nishta. Even in dream, he should not forget this. It should have gone deep into the subconscious mind. This alone, we call it as jnana nishta or sthita prajna, which we saw in 2nd chapter.
సో బ్రాహ్మీ స్థితి పార్థ నయేనాం ప్రాప్య విముహ్యతి వి ఆల్రెడీ సా అండ్ వన్స్ హీ హస్ గాట్ నిష్ట కర్మణి అకర్మ ఎ పశ్చేత్ పశ్యన్ శృణ్వన్ స్పృశన్ జిగ్రన్ సర్వదా వర్తమానోపి స యోగి మయి వర్తతే దర్ ఆఫ్టర్ హీ కెనాట్ ఫర్గెట్ దెన్ హీ డస్ నాట్ రిక్వైర్ నిధిధ్యాసనం ఆల్సో హీ ఈస్ మోర్ ఎ సాధక హీఈస్ ఎ సిద్ధ పురుష హీ ఈస్ నో మోర్ ఎ సాధక హీఈస్ ఎ సిద్ధ పురుష ఓకే దెన్ అగైన్ విల్ కమ్ టు ది 53rd శ్లోకా సెకండ్ లైన్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు గో బ్యాక్ అండ్ ఫోర్త్ బికాస్ యు నో ది ఆర్డర్ ఈస్ నాట్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది శ్లోక వీ హ్యావ్ టు రీఅరేంజ్ దమ్ ఈచ్ టైమ్ సో ద లాస్ట్ వర్డ్ ఇఫ్ యూ సీ బ్రహ్మ భూయాయ కల్పతే దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఫలం సో ప్రిపరేషన్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ నిధిధ్యాసనం హ్యాస్ బీన్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ నౌ నిధిధ్యాసన ఫలం దట్ ఈస్ గివన్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద ఫలం బ్రహ్మ భూయాయ కల్పతే భూయ మీన్స్ భావ స్వరూపం సో బ్రహ్మభూయ మీన్స్ బ్రహ్మస్వరూపం కల్పతే మీన్స్ బికమ్స్ ఫిట్ హీ బికమ్స్ ఫిట్ టు అటైన్ బ్రహ్మస్వరూపం దట్ ఈస్ హీఈస్ ఏబుల్ టు ఎఫర్ట్లెస్లీ ఓన్ అప్ అహం బ్రహ్మ అస్మి సో బ్రహ్మస్వరూపం ఈస్ నథింగ్ బట్ అహం బ్రహ్మ అస్మి ఇతి నిష్ఠ దట్ అలోన్ సో హియర్ ద సటిల్ పాయింట్ ఇస్ వాట్ వీ షుడ్ నాట్ థింక్ by nididhyasanam he becomes fit to attain brahma swarupam that has to be very carefully understood because brahma swarupam is not something to be attained we always tell all the time it is not that by meditation he attains brahma swarupam because according to shastra an ignorant man also is what brahma swarupam only so he is fit to attain brahma swarupam that means what fit to attain the jnana nishta in the knowledge that I am brahma swarupam already so brahma swarupam is common to all but jnana nishta I am brahman that knowledge alone is not common to all between a jnani and an ajnani this is the only difference jnana nishta I am brahman that knowledge is there only with a jnani and not with an ajnani and this knowledge will become firm for him as he does this particular nididhyasanam all the time. So that's what Krishna concludes here. We will continue with the rest of the chapter in the next webinar. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti linasya yapparasa maheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu.